Welcome to the Frontier Psychiatrist Podcast. I'm your host, Owen Scott Muir, MD.
Nothing particularly significant or important. It wasn't terribly dramatic.
That boy needs therapy. That boy needs therapy.
Lie down on the couch. That's crazy when we've got effective interventions at our disposal. What does that mean? Large effect sizes, empirical questions answered left and right.
A lot of the psychedelics became
all
legal.
Night.
A lot of the psychedelics became illegal.
Transcranial magnetic stimulation.
Life is rubbish. For all of us.
Welcome to the show. The Frontier Psychiatrist. Let's go.
That boy needs therapy.
All that's going on here is that these people do not have a language for talking about their thoughts and their feelings. And as soon as they start talking about their thoughts and their feelings, they don't have to do crazy things.
I'm Jeremy Fox, licensed professional counselor, EMDR therapist, trauma specialist. Great to be here today on the show again.
It is great to have you, Jeremy. I'm Dr. Owen Scott Muir. This is the Frontier Psychiatrist Podcast. And we're talking today about Change Healthcare. When did you first hear about Change Healthcare, Jeremy?
I heard about that really when that unfortunate cyber snafu happened a few days ago. I'd probably seen the name around, but that's what really brought it to my attention.
I'm going to admit something. I have no idea what Change Healthcare does. I have a little idea of some of the things they do, but the scope of this organization is so tremendous that it boggles the mind.
Right. Yeah, I feel you. I'm not fully aware of what exactly the implications are.
My guess is that if you took a senior executive at UnitedHealthcare and you asked them with a gun to their head to explain what Change Healthcare did, they'd die.
Wow.
I think they have the same chance of explaining it that I do of doing calculus, which I learned in high school in theory.
What do you think the reason for that is?
I'll give you a little bit of the history. This dates back to a company called MDON in the 90s that was a revenue cycle management company. This got acquired and renamed by a WebMD-related company. 10 of those executives were indicted for accounting fraud. Its name got changed again. It got acquired by Blackstone, which is a private equity firm. And then they just went on a buying spree. And so Change Healthcare is the name they gave it, and it was eventually acquired by UnitedHealthcare. But it does a little bit of everything that's on the back end of healthcare. So when you look at your insurance card, it's got a GRP number for group, it's got a member ID number, and it's got a BIN number. That actually is short for bank identification number, because we built healthcare on like bank identifiers. The first thing that's really disruptive for physician practices or therapists is that when you submit a claim to get paid for someone using their insurance for healthcare, that has to go through a clearinghouse. And Change Healthcare was a major clearinghouse. There was a cyber attack by the ransomware as a service gang called Alv/Black Cat. And usually what they do, which is a fine business model if you need your business to work, is they will get in your system. They're there on average for 204 days when they're doing one of these things before you figure it out. Mm-hmm. So that announcement we had by United that people had to disconnect from Change was well after it was too late. Mm-hmm. So nobody can get paid in a physician practice, but it's much worse than that.
Okay.
They do the claims adjudication for all of dental insurance, virtually all of dental insurance. So no dentist can submit a claim to get paid either. They also have their own pharmacy benefit manager.
Okay.
They also have more than one pharmacy switch. So when you go to the pharmacy in real time and you want to get a medication and they want to hand it to you, more than just that has to happen. They don't know how much the drug costs until they run your health insurance and its associated pharmacy benefit manager through what's called a pharmacy switch to figure out which of the pharmacy benefit managers involved in your plan is the one who creates the pricing for that drug and then on the way back, is there a coupon that also does repricing of that claim so that you can pay some amount of money at the end? They can get paid something, your insurance. All of that is ransomware'd out.
So that's just devastating to anyone trying to put through claims, receive them. It's a kind of a blinding effect.
It's worse than that, because not only is all that stuff shut off.
My gosh.
But hundreds of days worth of health information, which is 15 billion claims a year, is the property currently of a cyber crime group.
That's astounding to hear.
So every time, and they also do labs, they do clinical decision support. So if you went and got HIV testing in the last year, what if you found out you had gonorrhea?
Mm-hmm.
That's now the property of cyber criminals.
No privacy. Let's talk about HIPAA violation.
In fact, every single one of those claims contains protected health information, and there will be very serious questions asked about HIPAA fines, because it was the responsibility of Change Healthcare to protect that information. And I sure as heck hope they had buttoned it all up, but I don't know that they did. So
we wait to figure out what happens at this point. There's no way to really know.
There's more. They also rolled up this bunch of companies, it turns out, but every radiology imaging system, or virtually all of them. So every chest x-ray, every MRI, the radiology systems used to manage those things are also abducted by cyber criminals. But keep in mind, the Optum subdivision is essentially healthcare services. So it's a cost center for United Healthcare. They did not cyber hack our ability to pay our premiums.
Oh, okay.
So if you're United Healthcare, which by the way, also owns a $100 billion bank.
Okay.
Optum has its $100 billion bank.
Definitely sizable.
So if you're United and you're getting paid premiums, but you now all of a sudden don't have to pay out, and I did the math on this morning, $410 million a day.
Wow. Okay.
So the interest rate right now on just letting $410 million a day sit there is not bad.
No, I'm sure it's not.
It's 7%.
Which adds up quickly.
At the scale of 15 billion transactions, making $78,000 a day on interest on the money in their legal bank of not paying out the claims that they now can't pay out because cyber criminals ransomed their ability to pay it out. So they took for ransom the ability to pay the bill.
There is some real high-level irony here.
I am sure they're working very hard to solve this problem because all the reasons. The whole ransom business internationally is only $1.1 billion annually. United makes $8.9 billion in profits per quarter.
Mm.
So the ransom is on their ability to pay out claims.
I'm getting that.
They have massive claims denial systems and prior authorization to delay paying claims. From a balance sheet perspective, look, this is a disaster. They're being ransomware. I'm not saying it's good. But financially, you just stopped a massive pool of money from going anywhere outside the coffers of United Healthcare.
I hear what you're saying. it's extremely bizarre. And it shows the vulnerabilities in website. That's not a small feat to do that, to get access to all of that information.
Yep. It's terabytes of everyone's information.
It's absolutely gargantuan.
Every pharmacy prescription from every military pharmacy.
That seems pretty substantial as well, for just some obvious reasons. Yeah. Confidential on confidential stuff.
Look, your genetics are part of this. It's a terrifying amount of deeply personal information that they had every responsibility to safeguard and are now being held hostage by people who are state actors, essentially,
What do you think would be helpful to prevent this kind of thing going forward? I know you have a lot of ideas about insurance as it stands.
Yeah. So there are some best practices for cybersecurity, and I'm not a cybersecurity expert. But one of the things that is important is that ransomware doesn't work if you air gap your backups. And so that means every day you should be backing up your data and storing it on a system that's not connected to the broader internet. That's not a Wi-Fi, they can't get into. And so there should be a carbon copy backup of everything so you can just revert to a not internet connected backup that the bad guys don't have all of. So they can't lock up your information if you have another copy. And that's just best practices in cybersecurity. Now, given UnitedHealthcare laid off the vast majority of their cybersecurity workforce, in the weeks leading up to the discovery of this, we have a little bit of a problem.
I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah, they did that. Like literally 3 days before this was announced, they were laying those people off. Now, I'm going to melt your brain a little bit more. So you've heard of HIPAA and there are possibly fines.
Of course.
The maximum fine in a category for HIPAA breach, which is, did somebody know? Was there negligence? And did they report it to HHS greater than 30 days later? It's $1.8 million per violation.
I think I see where you're going with this. Okay.
Now, they process 15 billion healthcare transactions, each of which at a bare minimum is one claim.
Okay.
So the fines on that are more than the ransom would ever be. And at the even the most modest level, the math works out to be, in dollars, 1.8 times 10 to the 14th.
Wow.
Which is 377 times the market capitalization of UnitedHealthcare. Now, UnitedHealthcare's got a lot of lobbyists, right? And they're not going to pay a fine that's going to be more than the value of their company by 377.
Okay.
If I'm them, I would. What is it worth to you to not have your company get destroyed? So there is some discretion that the Department of Justice has in doing that. But keep in mind, in August of 2023, UnitedHealthcare was hit with what's called a preservation of records request for the Department of Justice.
Okay.
And that's a legal term that says you need to hold on to all your paperwork because we're investigating you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they can't destroy an email legally. They can't shred a piece of paper legally. Hold on to all of it because we're coming to look. And then this happened.
It's essentially an audit.
It's an audit, yeah. And if you're wondering if someone is too big to not be broken up by the government, which they have the ability to do, they've done it before.
I am wondering. Okay.
And all of us, they have a right to ask, has a company at this scale perhaps bitten off more than they can safely manage?
I think it's a big question for our times. I mean, you see so many different companies merging together, and I mean, whether it's in healthcare or entertainment. And so people have been asking this about various different companies. And I think now we see an example of something going wrong when there's one big holder of a lot of data. And if someone manages to penetrate that security and everything's just there.
The people who get screwed are all of us, right? All of our personal health information has been abducted by criminals.
Right.
The counterparty, you know, who's UnitedHealthcare's payee division.
Sure.
They have a perverse incentive, which is to make this negotiation go on longer because they make more money the longer they don't pay up.
Gotcha.
You've heard of compound interest, Jeremy.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
How fast does compound interest work on $410 million a day?
Pretty rapid.
And so there is this very strange situation where they didn't ransom the right thing.
Sure.
They locked down the money. They locked down the ability to spend the money.
Yes. We've got a very interesting game theory dilemma that people will address for decades.
Look, I think Black Hat as an organization or series of organizations, because they basically lease out their software to other criminals to use and they get a portion of the proceeds. But whoever did this attack didn't really understand what they were doing because the incentive is just to let it go on forever. Because how long does United make you wait to get paid already? Like this is their business model, is to make it take longer to pay.
Right.
And so now they have someone else they can blame for that quote unquote problem, but it's tremendously profitable to the parent organization mm-hmm. to not be able to pay.
Right.
That's an insurance company's dream, is to not be able to pay out a claim. I'm sorry, our ability to pay out your premium has been broken. We'll get to it any minute now.
Sure. Yeah. What's interesting about this is back in the year 2000 with the Y2K panic, mm-hmm. people were afraid that everything being online would cause, like when the calendars rolled over to 00 for the year 2000, that it would cripple commerce and healthcare. And so now we're seeing 4 years later, everything online has been fine for a huge majority, like the vast yeah. majority. Cases, and we've been lulled into this sense that's just how it is. And so right. it's like the opposite of Y2K. We have, oh no, it just needs to be on the internet. And what you're saying very astutely is we need some hard copies. We need some things that aren't touched by the internet. And people were open to that message 24 years ago. And now we yeah. there's such a complacency, I think, that hopefully this will jar people into getting some external storage.
So this is a really good insight. This is a Y2K bug for healthcare.
Absolutely.
And the fact that we allowed, from a regulatory perspective, the Y2K bug to be something that could be foisted upon us is a question that all of us have a right to ask our government. Because this merger was challenged.
Okay. When was that?
It was 2013, I think, 2017, something like that. Okay. Not that long ago.
Years ago.
It wasn't, I have to go look, because I don't remember, but the Department of Justice did challenge this on an antitrust basis. Mm-hmm. And the CEO of United brought as supporting witnesses, the CEOs of Cigna, Elephants, and to say, oh no, this is not a problem.
And those are other, that's another healthcare company, right?
Like they brought their competitors to say this is not anti-competitive.
Okay.
However, maybe it was the wrong question. Maybe they're so big that maybe they're a monopoly when it comes to health information, not just health insurance. Because the question at the time was about, are they too big as a health insurance company? Mm-hmm. And that may have been the wrong question.
And I think that question of, too big for holding all the information is going to be repetitive in our time, because information essentially is a service now. It's a massive service.
Ransom is a service. That's what Black Hat does. It's ransomware as a service.
Right. So we have to think beyond like the traditional terminology. And so I know that has to update at some point, because things take a while to change with anything related to government rules and regulations, but the information that's, yeah, go ahead.
I couldn't agree more. I think we have to ask sensible questions. What does your company do? And if you can't answer in 10 minutes or more, you know, less, like you just need to be able to understand the scope of your company. If you can't tell me what you do, it's probably too big. Tell me what is it that you do here, test?
And there's this really good cliched quote that is, if something is free, you're the service. And now even stuff you pay for, you're often the service. Your data is what's so valuable.
Right.
We all need to be like data detectives on our own existence and realize where it's out there, and to not put too much or any responsibility or shame on the actual consumers that this affects. You're hoping that when you have insurance or anything medical, that's protected. That's the expectation, the implicit expectation.
And so it's worth understanding, this is another moment for advocacy. So there is no private right of action under the law called HIPAA. HIPAA allows for government enforcement. It doesn't allow a person or a corporation to sue for a privacy breach. It's federal level.
Yeah.
It turns out there's something called a business associate agreement, which is a contract between your healthcare entity and mm-hmm. the service provider, where they agree to abide by all the rules of HIPAA. But the only claim that you can make about a breach is if there are actual damages caused and if there is a negligence, right? So the lawsuit a private individual could bring in federal court would be about negligence, is my guess.
Yes. I think
in state court, California has different laws. So a number of laws have, states have laws about privacy that allow for, again, state attorneys general to take action. Connecticut, California, Ohio, Colorado, Virginia, all those states have enhanced privacy laws. California, a behemoth of a state, the fifth largest economy in the world, if it was its own country, has privacy laws that allow for private right of action, which means any of us could sue based on a data breach.
That's a game changer.
It is, because California has business relationships with everywhere. And so it may be that because of California-based tech companies serving this stuff, there's a business associate agreement that leads back to California, that leads back to wherever you happen to be. And that may be how any of us have a right to sue about this data breach.
That's pretty interesting, Owen, to put it mildly.
And those damages under California law are up to $700 per breach, which not that much per thing, but when there are 15 billion of them a year, ends of data is what they claim to have sucked out. They had an obligation under privacy law in California to keep that data private and not allow this to happen and to have that backup off the web. And they didn't. And so now not only is our healthcare being disrupted, but our information is dangerously in the hands of people who mean us harm. And I don't feel great about that, and neither should anybody else. And if we're howling mad, great. And in America, the way we fix howling mad situations is lawsuits.
Wow. Yeah.
So if we look at the Americans with Disabilities Act, I think we have a good basis for this. The reason there is a ramp on anything is not because the government said there have to be ramps. It's say, they said there have to be ramps. And if there isn't a ramp, any citizen can sue.
Right.
So there's a private right of action under the Americans with Disabilities Act. I can sue you because you didn't comply with this law. If we're going to have privacy laws, we need to be able to create an enforcement mechanism, which may be a private right of action, about our information. You should have to meet standards or you are liable. And right now, they can negotiate the claims down with the government because at the end of the day, they have enough lobbying power to do that.
Something equivalent to the ADA may be a way to ensure more protection.
Yeah. And the ADA worked, right? There are ramps. If you go other places in the world, there's just not the same access for people with disabilities. And here, there really has been a dramatic move towards more accessible stuff for all of us.
Absolutely.
It works.
That's a great case example. Yeah.
And so I think for our privacy, maybe that's a way forward.
And things like this that are so sizable are sometimes what's required. Like, we know with regulations, they are usually responsive, like reactive and not proactive. And so we're in the age of data. So that is the commodity. And so protections in place to protect that more, to safeguard that are really only just the greatest practice. That's what's necessary at this point.
I think you're right. I think in the age of data, it's like a ramp, right? If you don't have your data, you can't get into the digital building. That's our accessibility. And we wouldn't accept no ramp for a building so that someone in a wheelchair can't get in. And we also shouldn't accept no appropriate stewardship of data so that we're all locked out of our own house when it comes to our health.
Great thoughts.
Thank you for the time. I hope this was a fun conversation.
It's definitely illuminating, heavy, informative.
Yeah. Now both of us are going to go back to care for patients.
That's right.
One other tip for anyone who's listening who's a physician practice, Claim.md is a company that's been around since the 80s that has a functional clearinghouse that doesn't run through change, and you can still submit claims through there for many, but not all insurance. So if you're a healthcare professional, you need to submit a claim, you need to get paid, look at ClaimMD. It may be helpful to you.
That's a great resource.
Yeah. Carlene found it this weekend.
Okay.
But it turns out even with ClaimMD, the Medicare servers are shut down on Sundays, so you can't submit Medicare claims on the weekend.
Okay. Note to self.
Not on Sundays. Thank you for having the conversation with me today, Jeremy.
Yeah. Thank you for hosting it, Owen. As always, very insightful, informative, and a bit of dark humor here. So
on brand. I want to highlight, this is not some individual person. It may be the cyber criminal's fault. But when you have organizations that are so big, no one person can possibly understand them. I'm a smart guy. You're a smart guy. Neither of us had any clue.
I wasn't conversant with change healthcare. Yeah.
I've been looking into it for a week and I have no idea what it does. I can tell you maybe one or two things. I don't get it. And I don't know that anyone could because it's too many things.
So many moving parts and it's unclear how they fit together like an equation.
Nobody expects you to be an advanced calculus professor and a statistics professor and a biology professor and a computer science professor. And you'd have to be all of those things to understand what Change Healthcare did.
Yeah. You'd have to have a PhD program of about 60 years, give or take. I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm.
And have written it all in ancient Latin.
Sure. Oh, on top of it. Yeah. Just small things.
Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Owen Scott Muir, MD, and this is the Frontier Psychiatrist Podcast, the companion publication to the frontierpsychiatrist.substack.com. Subscribe and rate this as 5 stars because it helps discovery on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you happen to be listening. Have a great one.